It's my privilege and joy to be bringing the word this morning to you. Before we do that, I'm going to look at some complaints. Who here likes to complain? Don't put your hand up. Okay, put your hand up. But we know complaining is like a national pastime. It's something that we all love to do. And here's some complaints, some example of customer complaints. You can see this image behind me. This was a photograph taken by a traveller on Air New Zealand. And accompanying this photograph, this individual wrote to Air New Zealand, "Dear Air New Zealand, I'm writing this as a matter of national concern. I have been having sleepless nights, wondering if I should mention it or not, but tonight the straw broke the camel. So tonight I officially raise this concern. Your cheese to cracker ratio is completely wrong." I think we have to assume this is on a flight. Okay, I think most of you got that. This is on a plane, this is on a flight, and this is part of the in-service meal. It says, I like cheese. I really like cheese. But often the best part of the cheese is having it accompanied by a firm and crisp cracker. I feel that there is sufficient cheese to justify at least 4 crackers. !! Now, maybe it was the one ice-cold red wine that I consumed in flight. Bad move. We always want our red wine room temperature. Maybe it was the one ice-cold red wine that I consumed in flight talking here, but I took the liberty of taking a photo to show the terrible extent of your problem. Please rectify this horrid oversight. !! Air New Zealand. Hi, Jeremy. Thanks for getting in touch. We appreciate your feedback and have passed this on to our team to look into. We all love a complaint, don't we? Even about the amount of crackers we get with our cheese. Well, let's have a couple more. Now, a lot of people complain by Twitter nowadays. In the old days, it was, a letter, yours frustratingly, of Tunbridge Wells. But we have a couple of tweets here. "I ordered a pizza and came with no toppings on it or anything. It's just bread at Domino's." Domino's reply. "We're sorry to hear about this. Please let our friends at Domino's UK know of this so we can help." Next tweet. "Never mind, I opened the pizza upside down." Yeah. I think I admire that fella's boldness in doing that. And the third one I want to show you is this. "Hi, at Tesco's, I've got a serious problem with one of your products I've recently purchased. Hi, Adam, could you please elaborate on this? Thanks, Laura." Reply from Tesco's. "Yes. Why on earth has your shampoo turned my dog pink?" Shampoo on the left, pink dog on the right. So you can understand why that individual complained, because the dog, looking very happy, but has turned pink. That's pretty incredible. So we all love to complain. We all love a good whinge and moan. And don't worry, that is relevant for today's message. But I think we could all kind of say, yeah, we all like a good complain and moan from time to time. So if you have a Bible with you, if you could turn to Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to read a few verses from chapter 1 and then a few verses from Genesis chapter 2. And I'm going to, as you're just doing that today, I'm just going to talk to you three things I'm going to bring out in my message between now and about midday. And these are them. Work is a gift from the Lord. Work is a gift from the Lord. Work is hard and things go wrong. We'd all, many of us, say amen to that. And lastly, the gospel, there is hope. And these are the three things I want to look at today, that work is a gift from the Lord. Work is hard and things go wrong, but in the gospel, there is hope. So I can give you all the truth, all the difficult news, but there is hope, and I want to bring that at the end. So let's have a look at Genesis chapter 1. And if you found chapter 1, if you could go to verse 27, and I will read that to you. I'm going to read chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. And we're landing right in the middle of the creation story as given in the account here of Genesis. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" And I'm just going to jump to chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 8. So just moving over a bit through the story into chapter 2, verse 8. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden, and from it it was separated into four, and there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good aromatic resin, and onyx also live there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris. It runs the east side of Ashur, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. So just finishing there on verse 15. So let's move on to the next slide. This amazing account, and I've just grabbed a few verses out of it, of this amazing account of creation in Genesis, tells us so much about the Lord God, his character, his nature, and about how God relates to us as his created beings, and how he provides for creation, and about us and our identity and purpose. There's so much packed into just the verses I read from from Genesis. It is rich in truth and power. And today I want to focus on the call and promise and purpose given to mankind in these verses. There is a mystery in creation. There's no doubt about it. There's a mystery in creation. And Genesis gives us a deep insight into what happened and how it happened. And there's no mistaking there's a mystery in it. But it is without doubt that the Lord God made man, as we see from these verses. He made us male and female. He provided a home for us, the planet he created. He gave us authority. He gave us responsibility. He gave us work. And all of these things he gave us before things went wrong and what the Bible calls the fall, all of those things, authority, purpose, responsibility, and work before the fall. So I just want to go through these verses in a bit more detail. You see, verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. We are created in God's image with many of his attributes. We are not divine, but we are creators like the Creator himself. We have independent thought. We are physical yet spiritual beings. We are created in the image of God." And then in verse 28, it says, "The Lord God blesses us." Do you hear that? Verse 28, God blessed them. The second, after God created us, what did he do? Blessed us. And if that doesn't tell us about the love and goodness of God, I don't know what will. He blessed us. It's really important to remember that. He blessed us. And what does he bless us with? He blesses us with authority and work. And for some of us, that doesn't sound like much of a blessing. But he blesses us with authority and he blesses us with work. What are we to do? Well, it says we are to subdue and rule the earth. We are given authority over the planet. He gives it to us. He gives it to mankind. It is our planet to rule. He has given us such powerful authority. It is our job, our role, and our task to do this. And remember, this is all before the fall. This is all before things went wrong. He has given us authority, a job, a role, and work to do. It is a blessing. It is a blessing. He blesses us with work. And for those of us who don't like work very much, this might be quite difficult. And believe me, when I'm talking about work, I'm not just talking about paid employment. I'm talking about everything. For some of us are retired. Some of us do volunteer work. Some of us do all sorts of different types of things which might not fall into the normal bracket of what we call an 8 to 6 or 9 to 5, whatever your day is. But he gives us work, and work covers everything, and we're all involved in it in different ways. But it is a blessing. It is a blessing. So if, like me, you tomorrow morning you're going to get up and go to a place of work, that is a blessing. If you volunteer, that is a blessing. If you work and support people or families, that is a blessing. Whatever you do, paid or unpaid, it is a blessing. God has blessed you with work. It is a blessing. It'd be fair to say that many of you aren't seeing it like a, many of you don't appear to feel it like a blessing at the moment, but believe me, it is. It is a blessing. It is a gift from God to mankind, from the creator of the universe. It is a gift to us, a part of his new creation over which he gives us authority. See, the Lord God didn't set up the world and walk away like a grand clockmaker winding up a clock and then stepping away. There's some people who believe that. It's sort of a theology of deism where God set it up and walked away. No, God created it and then remains very much involved, and he created for us work and things to do. You know, Adam and Eve didn't have much of a track record. They hadn't done anything. Nothing. Yet God just gave them such authority and such work. It is a blessing. So, back to what I started our message with, complaining. As I said, it's a national pastime in our culture to complain about life, especially work. Who here has complained about work? I think we'd all put our hand up at some point. We complain about everything and anything to do with work. We complain about the managers, the stress, the pressure, the boredom, the pay, the pension, the leadership, the conditions, the office, factory, shop, wherever we work, our colleagues, the food, the hours, the strategy, the computers, the stationery, the chairs, the decor, the phone system, the tools, the transport, the politics, the clients, the customers, the HR department, and IT support. We complain about everything, don't we? And I'm sure if we were playing work complain bingo, many of you would be shouting house at the moment because you would have ticked all those boxes. You know, you get the picture. We complain. Our culture and society complains about it. And if you've not complained about work, well, you haven't been there long enough. And for some, it's an obsession. It's an obsession. You know those people. You meet them, and you haven't seen them for a week or two. And before you've even said, hi, how are you, they're just downloading about their manager. They're downloading about the IT system. They're downloading about the lack of whatever that's not there. They're just complaining. It weighs you down. But we love to do it. We complain, we complain, we complain. But hang on. What is work? It's a blessing. Oh, hang on. If work is a blessing, what should our attitude towards it be? That's a question, and I might pick on someone, but unless someone says, what should our attitude be? I'm going to pick on someone. Go on, Ben. Sorry, that was a bit hard. You've been working this morning, haven't you? Yeah. Yeah. Not changed in school. Sorry, that's unfair. Sorry, Ben. Adrian, I ask you, what should... Thankfulness. Thankfulness. Sorry, Ben, I didn't mean to pick on you. I apologise for it. If anyone... I apologise. Thankfulness. Yeah, that's right. We have to be thankful for every type of work, whatever we do. Whatever it is, however highly or lowly paid, however many hours you do or however many hours you don't do, whoever is your manager, however competent they are or not, it is a gift. And if it is a gift from the Lord, what are we to be? Thankful. 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 And this is not some moralistic self-help. I'm preaching the word here. I'm not telling you to be thankful just so you feel better about it. I'm saying the Lord God blessed us is a gift from God. And if it's a gift, we're to be thankful to him for what he has blessed us with, even when it doesn't feel much like a blessing, and I'm going to come on to that. So how about you then? Do you ever complain? I think we probably all kind of complain. What do you complain about? Don't shout it out, please. Because we've all got things. What is it? Is it your colleagues? Is it the transport, the bus, or the van you go to your place of work in? Whatever it is, I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you to see that your work, whatever it is a blessing and it is not a curse. It is a blessing and it is not a curse. Your work, no matter how hard or easy, how highly powered or menial is a blessing, a gift of God to you. It's his gift to you. And I want to challenge you to see it differently. To see it differently. To see it as a blessing and as a gift to you, not as a curse, no matter how hard it is. Now, we've all had hard times in work. If we haven't, as I said, everyone, it's just a matter of time. It will come. Something will frustrate us. It all happens. But imagine this situation. A person comes to you really upset. It might be the end of a church meeting, for example. I'm not saying this has happened. I'm just saying this is a theoretical explanation. Just imagine this. And they say, I'm really upset. My job's so hard. I hate it. The managers are hard to me. My colleagues are difficult. The work is really tough. I want to leave, but I can't find anything else. And they say, can you pray for me? So you pray. And they say, Lord, we want a door to open for this person, that they would be able to find a new job, somewhere where they can get paid and they enjoy their job and it's different. And you pray for them. And then you pray for them the next week. And the days turn into weeks. The weeks turn into months and the months turns into years. And they're still in the same job, still hating it, still struggling with it, and you're still praying. And then the person starts to think, maybe God has forgotten me, abandoned me, doesn't care for me, doesn't love me, but I'm still in my awful situation. We've probably heard many of these situations, and many of us have been in this situation ourselves. Well, I want to shock you with something, because the answer is not always to leave. The answer is not actually often to leave. The answer is not that we would leave or the door would open to something else. Actually, often the answer is to persevere with the blessing the Lord has given you. Now, hear me. I'm not saying don't leave bad jobs. I changed job last October. We move around. I'm not saying don't change bad jobs. But there are times when actually the Lord's call to us is not to leave, but to persevere. It's to persevere. It's particularly tough for people. I mean, I count myself as one of the last generations who saw our career as a marathon, not a sprint. And I don't know, Catherine, sorry to pick on you, Catherine, it's the Catherine and Ben show, but Catherine worked for me for a while, and I don't know if I ever said this to you, Catherine, as one of my new Woodland officers that came in, and I would say to new staff, it will take you 2 years to learn the job, and 3 years before you really start giving us real value. And if you're 20, and not that you were at the time, Catherine, but if you're 22 or 23 and you hear that, you go, what, 2 years? I expect to be promoted and leading the company by then. It's actually quite a common attitude amongst people a little bit younger. I didn't grow up with that, but I know there's some people that do. It takes, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint, particularly now that we've all got to work till we're 78 or whenever we're going to get our pensions. But actually... Okay, let's move on. Yeah, you see, those baby boomers, they've got the triple lock, mortgage paid off. They work very hard for it, though. See, the reason actually why we've got to stick with it, is because, you know what, that difficult manager you've got, sorry, Catherine, your manager, I'm sure, was difficult at times, but, you know, don't think of me when you... That difficult colleague or that difficult CEO who doesn't know what they're doing, do you know what? The Lord has put them in your life for a reason, to make you more like Jesus. Often we want to change the situation, but the Lord's not finished with us in that situation until we become more like Christ. You know, that leader, that manager may be hopeless, but you know what? The Lord is teaching us something in that. He's teaching us perseverance. Is that a godly attitude? Yes. He's teaching us patience. Is that a godly attitude? He's teaching us to persevere with imperfect people. Is that a godly attitude? Jesus deals with me all the time. Am I perfect? Far from it. It is actually the Lord often leads us in this difficult situation in work, because he's teaching us something. And often we complain about it, but actually what we don't realize is the Lord is using it to humble us so that we become less of a grumbling, complaining people and more of a thankful, humble people. I think for the Israelites who went through the desert for 40 years, I think they took a long time to learn that. And we, frankly, are no different. And sometimes the Lord leaves us, allows us to stay in a situation to teach us. The Lord doesn't test us with sin. He often just tests us with situation to see if our heart will respond in the way that Christ does. Now, I've got some hope for you, because these doesn't make it any easier. I'll come to the hope at the end. The Lord puts difficult people in our lives to make us more like him. You know, as I said, these people are not necessarily perfect. And it's still a blessing. It's still a blessing. So right now, just gonna pause a moment. I just encourage you. I encourage you, rewrite the inner dialogue about your work. I want you to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for that really difficult colleague that's helping me learn patience. Thank you that you provide for my needs. Sometimes, Lord, it doesn't feel enough, but I thank you for what you have provided for. Thank you that through this, you are teaching me to be like you. You are discipling me, Jesus. You are discipling me, even when it goes wrong. Even when I make mistakes. Who has made a mistake at work? I've got a big one I'm dealing with at the moment. Even when things go wrong, the Lord is using it to change our hearts so that our hearts are more like Jesus. See, Jesus is much more interested in our heart than our happiness. Much more concerned about the nature of our heart than our happiness. There's a lot of happiness the other side of the great divide, but right now he's doing a real work in our hearts. And if we are happy, thank you, Lord, for those moments of happiness. Our culture and society searches and seeks out happiness. Actually, the gospel doesn't do that. Jesus is actually really interested in our hearts. In his presence, there is joy, believe me. But he still, his discipleship is hard. Right, I need to move on to my second point. I've got about 6 minutes to do the rest of the sermon, so I apologize. But back to Genesis, and I'm going to read a few more verses. If you've still got it open, jump with me to chapter 3. And I'm going to read just two verses, 17, 19, and excuse me whilst I read this quickly for the sake of time. To Adam, he said, now we've jumped back into the fall, and Adam and Eve disobeyed the one thing that God told them not to do. He said to Adam, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree from which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it. All the days of your life it will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. It all went wrong. Mankind disobeyed God, and it had consequences. It had consequences. It doesn't change the fact that God loved Adam and Eve, but it still had consequences for them and creation. Suddenly the gift of work has changed. It will now be really hard. It will be painful. It will be toil. Things will go wrong, and where we want fruit, we get thistles. That is the consequence of the fall. Things go wrong. We do everything right, and things go wrong. You see, we need to know this, that where we expect fruit, there will be thistles. And we will sweat. It will be hard. And that is the reality of work now. So don't be surprised when things go wrong, no matter how experienced you are. Don't be surprised that it's hard, no matter how hard you've been working. It is the way it is. It is the way it is. Often we pray, God, get me out of this difficult situation. And the Lord doesn't get us out of this situation. We wonder, why, God, do you even love me? And I'll come to what he actually does in a moment. But actually the reality is, it is hard. It is hard. You can't Instagram a dirty burn. It's just not Instagrammable, is it? It's not perfect. The perfect Instagrammable world where, you know, everyone's beautiful and tanned and refreshed and have 8 hours sleep every night and lie in a beautiful Egyptian cotton bed. You know, that is the Instagram world. But the reality is most of us collapse into an unmade bed at 10 o'clock at night or 11 o'clock at night when we frankly haven't finished doing the washing up. It's just the world is not perfect, and we expect it to be, and many people want it to be, but actually it's not, and we just have to cope with the reality that it is hard and things go wrong. That is the reality of it now. And so if things go wrong, don't worry. It's not you. It's the same for everyone. If it's hard, don't worry. It's not you. It's the same for everyone. It's the reality of our world. But I've got some good news, and I'm going to come to that. But I do want to say, before I get to the good news, is that we all, whether we're a Christian or not, things will go wrong and it will be hard. It's not if it happens because it will. It's how what we do with it when it goes wrong. You see, for many people, many in our society, when faced with this reality, just want to check out. check out of work, check out of life, check out of relationships, check out of parenting because it's hard, check out of marriage because it's hard. We're faced with the sweat and thistles of work. Most people just want to check out. They check out of loving Jesus. They check out of church, and they check into other things, which can be good, sometimes not. There is hope, though, and I'm coming to bring some hope. That this is the hope, that Jesus is with us. That sounds a bit simplistic, Tom, but actually, no, let's just dwell on this a bit. In the midst of the pain, the struggle, the difficulty, the hard work, and the things that just go wrong, Jesus is with us. He is with us. He's not some distant, abstract, uninterested deity, but he is Emmanuel, God with us, who not only is with us, but has experienced the life that we live. Jesus himself worked as like a joiner, a builder, carpenter. He worked for many years. He knows things go wrong. He knows you sweat. He knows you get thistles when you want fruit. And he is with us. He's speaking to us, helping us, comforting us, guiding us, leading us, protecting us, giving us peace, patience, and hope. This is the truth of the gospel. Though we were far from God, he brought us close. And in Jesus, we come close to the Creator. We come close to him, and as we draw near to God, he draws near to us. We were distant, yet through the cross, we come close. And he's now, for those of us who believe, in us, dwelling in us, through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is in us. In Matthew chapter 28, the very last verse of that remarkable gospel, Jesus says, "And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the week, the month, the year, no, the age. I am with you to the very end of the age." He is with us, no matter what we feel. Frustrated, despairing, panicking, stressed, run out of energy, run out of money, we lost our job, whatever the situation is, with all the thistles and the sweat, he is with us. He has given us the counselor. He promised it and it came. The counselor, the Holy Spirit, God's empowering presence has come. Jesus was leaving the disciples, and obviously they were a bit anxious about this. We see this in the Gospel of John. But he said, "Don't worry. And actually, it's good news that I'm going. Because when I go, the counselor can come, will come." So Jesus isn't just in one, Jesus was just in one place at one time. But now the Holy Spirit breathed onto the earth at Pentecost, that all believers might know him in us. We know him in us. That he is with us. And he is with you now, giving you wisdom, comfort, and peace, which whatever job you do, paid or unpaid, you need. You need. So I'm going to pray and bring us to an end. And I just want to encourage you in this, that of all the difficulties I've talked about, God is here. He is for you. He is not against you. He loves you. And he's gentle and good and blesses his people. So come, Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence with us today. We are humbled. We are humbled that you would come and dwell in us, Lord, in this weakness, in this flesh, in the flesh that's so weak and fails so often. Yet, Lord, you persevere with me. You persevere with us. And you love us. And you are kind. And I ask, Lord, would you breathe your power on us now, Lord? I pray, Father, that you would strengthen weak knees. I pray that you would still troubled minds. Father, I pray that you would heal wounds that we've received through the workplace, Lord. I ask you, come and bring your peace, Lord, where there is discontent or confusion, Lord. Father, I pray you come and grow in us perseverance where there is difficulty and trial and trouble. Come and breathe on us, Lord, I pray. Come and breathe on us, Lord. And I encourage you, as just spend this moment just praying. In the quietness of your heart, I encourage you to say, Lord, help me. I need your help. I know I can't do it. As Stuart was saying when he was leading worship, that it's not about trying hard. It's not about trying hard. It's about knowing that the Lord loves you and he has peace and grace for you. Receive it as a gift, his gift of grace. So Lord, I pray you breathe on us, Lord. Come Holy Spirit, will you come and fill us? Come and strengthen us. Come and renew us. Come Lord Jesus. Come and do your work in us, I pray. Amen.